Good evening and welcome. The band has just introduced themselves with the carol called Hail Smiling Morn. This is a carol that dates back to 1346, and if you went to the north of England, you'll hear the bands, you'll hear choirs singing up there more than this part of the world, and they tell me if you want to hear a good version of it, go to a pub in Sheffield. Okay. We're going to stand and we're going to sing the beautiful carol, Once in Royal David City. Seated. I hope you're going to enjoy this carol service tonight, which is a celebration, and it's on behalf of Probus, the clubs in Felixstowe and their members. Amazingly, there is so much on tonight. I've had so many people apologise that they can't come because of other events. Just up the road at St Andrew's Church, there's a concert going on at this time as well. So I think we were all chasing the same, the same audience. But it's good to welcome you. It's also good to welcome the band here this evening, along with our special guest bandmaster, John Handley. I also like to welcome the soloists and the readers as well. You might be interested to know that this is one of 23 engagements that the band has in the month of December. So you can see we're pretty busy. I also have to thank Corps Sergeant Major John Ellison and members of the Felixstowe Corps for allowing us to use this building this evening. And at the conclusion of this event, you're invited to join us for light refreshments in the community hall at the back. There will also be a retiring collection at the end, the money being donated equally between the air ambulance and the Macmillan nurses. One of our guys who's sitting over here, Arthur, done something crazy to raise money for these charities. And do you know what? He's 90 this year, and he done a sponsored event which scared the pants off me when I saw what he'd done. So we're very proud of you, Arthur, for what you did, and it's good to see you here this evening. We're going to continue by singing the carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Sometimes known as Wally's story, but in this book it's called The Christmas Pageant. This is the month when schools and churches all over the country are holding their annual Christmas events. Probably the best Christmas pageant story I ever heard was about Wally Purling, printed in the Guidepost magazine years ago. As the story goes, Wally was 9 that year, but was in a class of 7-year-olds. Most folk in the town knew that he had difficulty in keeping up He was big and he was clumsy, slow in movement and in mind. Still, Wally was well liked by the other children in his class, all of whom were smaller than he. He was always helpful, the natural protector of the underdog. Wally fancied the idea of being a shepherd with a flute in the Christmas pageant that year. But the director of the play, Miss Lombard, assigned him to a more important role. After all, she reasoned, the innkeeper didn't have too many lines. So it happened that the usual large audience gathered for the town's yearly extravaganza of crowns and halos, shepherd's crooks and beards, and a whole stage full of squeaking voices. But no one on stage or off was more caught up in the magic of the night than Wally Purling. Then the time came when Joseph appeared slowly, tenderly guiding Mary to the door of the inn. Joseph knocked hard on the wooden door of the painted backdrop. "What do you want?" Wally said, swinging the door open. "We seek lodging." "Seek elsewhere." Wally looked straight ahead and spoke vigorously. "The inn is full." "Sir, we have asked everywhere in vain. We have travelled far and are very weary." Wally looked stern. "There is no room in this inn for you." Joseph put his arm around Mary. "Please, good innkeeper, this is my wife, and she is heavy with child and needs a place to rest. Surely you must have some small corner for her." For the first time, Wally, the innkeeper, relaxed his stiff stance and looked down at Mary. There was a long pause, long enough to make the audience a bit tense with embarrassment. A prompter whispered from the wings, "Your line is, no, be gone." Wally repeated automatically, "Be gone." Joseph sadly placed his arm around Mary, and the two of them started moving away. Wally stood there in the doorway watching. Suddenly his eyes filled with tears, and suddenly this Christmas pageant became different from all others. "Wait!" Wally, the innkeeper, suddenly blurted out. "Don't go, Joseph." His face broke into a wide smile. "You can have my room." Many people in town thought the program had been ruined. A few, however, the thoughtful ones, considered it the most meaningful pageant of all.
No carol service would be complete, would it, if we didn't sing the carol Silent Night. And this is often considered in many of the polls to be the nation's favourite carol. So this evening we will stand and we will sing together Silent Night.
Thank you. Good evening. It's a pleasure to be with you here this evening for this carol service. We have a little piece of music which you can sing along with if you like, but you might find it a bit difficult in places. This piece is called Camel Train. And obviously, it's based on the carol We Three Kings of Orientar. Now, I have said on two previous occasions and said it to the band in rehearsal, I really don't know about this piece, you know. It's a bit odd. It's a little bit quirky. But most people seem to tolerate it. We'll see how we get on tonight. We'll see how we get on tonight. And later on, we'll take a vote on it. Oh, no, sorry, that's tomorrow, isn't it?
Salvation Army here at Felixstowe, we're very blessed to have some very talented musicians and singers. This evening, I would like to introduce you to Claire Jessop, who is going to come and sing Mary, Did You Know?
Sons and daughters, did you know?
Thank you, Claire. That was beautiful. You're all sitting looking very relaxed. Let's sit, shall we, and sing our next carol. And we're going to sing Away in a Manger.
Tonight, a letter from Egypt written by Moira Andrews. Dear Miriam, just to let you know how things are with us, and of course to thank you and your good man for all you did for us at your busiest time to what with the census and everything. I was quite exhausted, and the baby was beginning to make himself felt. If it hadn't been for all of your help that night, my baby might have died. Good of you to put up with all our visitors. Who'd have thought 6 scruffy shepherds up and leaving their sheep just like that? And didn't they ever smell? Still, they were good-hearted, and they meant well. I hope they brought some extra trade to the inn. They looked in need of a hot drink and a meal. And what about those kings, Miriam? Kneeling there in their rich robes and all, and me in nothing but my old blue dress. Joseph said not to worry. It was Jesus they'd come to see. Real gentlemen they were. But what funny things to give a baby. Gold and myrrh and frankincense. That's men all over. It wouldn't cross their minds to bring a shawl. Sorry we left so suddenly. No time for goodbyes with the King Herod on the warpath. We had to take the long way home, and I'm so tired of looking at sand. Joseph has picked up a few jobs mending this and that, so we're managing quite well. Jesus grows bonnier every day, and thrives on this way of life. But I can't wait to see Nazareth again. Love to all at the inn, Mary.
Thank you, Christine, for that reading. You might be interested to know that Moira Andrews, she's a well-known Scottish poet, actually wrote that for Pat Routledge to read at the Salvation Army Carol Service at the Royal Albert Hall last year. And so when I heard that, I thought, I've got to find out where I can get a copy of this. And although it's not officially published, you can actually get it on the website. Talking about shepherds. In a few moments, we're going to have a reading from shepherds and about shepherds and angels. But first, we're going to have the carol about the shepherds while shepherds watched their flocks by night. Shepherds and the angels. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen.
The Salvation Army have some very talented musicians, not only for playing, but also for composing music. And Richard Phillips, who is the bandmaster, I believe, at Kettering, composed this particular piece of music, which I'm sure you will enjoy. It's about the angels, and starts with "Hark, the herald angels sing." Follow it through when you get to it. I don't think there's a full melody in there of "Hark, the herald angels sing," but if you want to sing the bits you can pick out, I assure you, you won't stop us. You won't stop us. As a little aside to this, I did contact Richard Phillips a few years back now, because he composed a lovely piece of music, or arranged it, I should say, based on the 12 Days of Christmas. And it is something to really listen to. And he played it with his band. I'm not quite sure which band it was he was playing it with then, but it was absolutely marvellous. But you never know. Perhaps next year. But it would need a lot of practice. A lot of practice. But we'll see what happens. But in the meantime, here is "Angel Trumpets."
Thank you. just played all those twiddly notes. I've just walked all the way around from there to here. And I've taken... And it's taken me longer to walk from there to here than I'm going to speak for. If you believe that. See, that got the biggest clap, didn't it? That got the biggest clap. It's a privilege to be able to share with you, just for a few minutes this evening, a Christmas thought, and then we're going to have a prayer after that. I think I did something similar last week, and I think the band think I'm going to give the same talk tonight, but I'm not. I have a longer one for tonight, because I knew that I'd be speaking to an austere group of gentlemen and ladies as well, who had been professional men and involved in industry and commerce and all those sorts of things. And I thought, well, I've got to come up with something reasonably good than what I normally do when I'm doing these things. So I had to give a bit of thought tonight. But the sign said 40% off Christmas. 40% off Christmas. And I was a bit surprised, but then suddenly realised that possibly the particular store was trying to make that effort to try and get some sales in and to try to make an effort to make this Christmas time financially viable for them as a business. But what was the 40% off? Well, in that store, of course, it was 40% off the decorations and 40% off Christmas lights and 40% off gifts that you could buy for your loved ones. 40% off. What a great bargain that is, to have 40% off something. I know most of us here might even go for something if it's 40% off. Don't tell my wife, but maybe something was in the shop for 40% off that was suitable or will be suitable for her for Christmas. But you know, maybe taking 40% off Christmas is not a bad idea at all. What about if we took off 40% of the time we had to listen to pre-Christmas ads on the television? Or the sales promotions? Or the marketing campaigns that seem to go on forever? What about if we took off 40% of the piped Christmas music that we had to listen to when we went into stores from September? Maybe if we took 40% off that, we could enjoy the season a bit more and not be so fed up of it all by the beginning of December. What if we'd diminish by 40% our expectation of what it means to have a Merry Christmas by 40%. And maybe people would be not so depressed when it's all over, that when the lights get taken down and the Christmas trees put away for another year, and that depressiveness turns us to the holiday brochures to see where we can go on our next holiday. Maybe we could relate a little bit better to those for whom Christmas isn't such a merry time of the year. For those who are grieving, for those who are sick, for those who are alone, for those who are poor and can hardly cope with the pressure of Christmas. Maybe we'd have a little bit more time for those who are homeless and without a place to call their own. Maybe we could spend 40% less on gifts or clothes or parties or dinners that we might go to, which would leave us still plenty left to give and share the meaning of Christmas that those we love and care for. Such a discount might make way for us to give more time to focus on what really matters at Christmas time, May it give us more time just to sit down like we're doing tonight and listen to the carols or sing the carols, listen to Christmas music, listen to the Christmas message that's brought to us through words. And give us time just to pause and to think. Is it possible that Christmas has gotten a bit out of hand? Too much, too early, and for way too long? You see, stripping away 40% of Christmas still leaves 60% left. 40% of Christmas will still leave us with Christ. And that's what this season's all about. It's all about God loving us so much that he gave his one and only Son, Christ, the gift of our salvation. It is about Jesus Christ, God's Son, who came amongst us and was living and working here on earth amongst us, who was to die and rise again for our forgiveness. It's about how God first gave so that we could serve and bring glory to God through our serving and walking alongside fellow men and women by sharing with one another and giving of ourselves to one another. You see, if we take 40% of Christmas, it still leaves Christ. And we will be left able to celebrate what this season is all about. And we will be able to find the time and the energy to be able to reflect again on how much God loves us and cares for us. My prayer for you this Christmas time, that you will not be too busy. You will not be rushing about so much in your preparation for Christmas that you do not find time just to stop and reflect why we are doing it. And I pray tonight that this time that we've shared together will have helped you to do that, and that you go away from here and able to reflect on what we're doing everything for. And may at the centre of it all, may we be doing it all so that we can celebrate the birth of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Let's share a prayer together. Father God, I just want to thank you for this evening and the opportunity to come together, to share together in this service, this Christmas carol service. We thank you for the contributions of readings and solo singing. We thank you for the opportunity to sing once again these familiar carols. I pray tonight that each and every one of us here have sung or listened as if we're hearing this wonderful story for the very first time. And the truth of the story and the truth of the carols that we've been singing will come to us afresh, that we may once again realize the significance of the reason for this season is Christ Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. I pray that each and every one of us will again have reflected on the truth of what we've been singing, and because of it, we'll be able to go away in a new light and a new purpose to think and reflect on what it means for each of us as individuals. So bless us as we continue in our carol service and conclude in fellowship later this evening. And may we have all been blessed by what we have heard and by what we've sung. And I pray this and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, David. You might be interested to know that Major David Squirrel has just moved to Felixstowe recently. And we're pleased to have him as a member of our church here and also as a member of our band. We're going to share our final carol together, which is Joy to the World. And we'll stand to sing this carol as we praise the Lord for his joy in sending Jesus Christ.
final piece for you this evening is simply called A Christmas Piece, based on the not-so-well-known carol, the Sussex Carol. But before we do that, I'm reminded a few years ago now that the Houses of Parliament decided they want to put on a nativity play. So they suitably got all the cast together, except they couldn't find three wise men. That's not a true story, by the way. But I am reminded also that many, many years ago, we went on holiday, along with my grandchildren and family and whatnot, to the Greek islands. And one very, very hot day, as it does get in the Greek islands, we was walking through the shopping centre, and all of a sudden, there was one big shop on the opposite side of the road to where we was walking. And on the two windows either side of the doorway, there was these huge paintings of two wise men, bearing their gifts, of course. And I looked at it and I thought, where's the third one? So, being the sort of idiot that I am, I went into the shop and I said to the people in there, there's three wise men. And he said, ah, they're outside. The wise one is inside.
Thank you.
take this opportunity and ask that God will grant you every blessing for a very happy and enjoyable Christmas. Please join us for coffee and tea and whatever else in the community room. Good night, and God bless.